It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Next up, Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com. 1 year ago today, what happened? 1 year ago today, back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Jim, can you answer that question?
I suspect that was Vanderbilt winning the College World Series against Michigan and Omaha and Nebraska. Am I right on that?
You suspect correct, sir. Yes. The final out was recorded. Do you remember? What was the final out?
The final out was a fly out to center field, if I'm not mistaken, and the reason I remember that, I mean, obviously that was a great day in Vanderbilt sports history. The reason I remember it so well is, you know, my wife's birthday is tomorrow, June the 27th, and we had just gotten off of a family trip to Boston and up into Maine on, you know, the Sunday before that started, which was on Monday, and I had always said if Vanderbilt made it out there again and was in the finals championship series, I was going to go. And I told my wife I was not going to miss her birthday. She wouldn't want me to tell her age, but it was a big birthday last year. And I told her, you know, I'm going to drive to Omaha. I'll be back for your birthday on the 27th. I was hoping Vanderbilt would win it, you know, in two games and would be back here with no problem. So Vanderbilt obviously lost the first game, and at that point I knew it was going to have to go to game three. So I was in the stands for that game and for that last out that you're talking to this time last year. And I had to get back to Nashville the very next day. So I went to the game. Got back in my hotel room probably about 12:30 in the morning, and after relishing in the victory, and then probably slept for an hour, got in my car in Omaha, Nebraska about 2 a.m. and drove straight back to Nashville and was back here probably 1 o'clock the next day where I could on the 27th to celebrate her birthday with her. So it was
wow.
a whirlwind travel for me, but I was able to go to the game, enjoy it, and not upset the wife from missing her birthday because
wow.
I was back here for most of it.
What was the point of the hour-long nap? To me, that would be almost work against you.
Yeah, I know. I thought about doing it. You know, I thought about trying to just drive right on through, but I felt like, you know, I got to at least get some kind of a nap or get some kind of sleep. And I have to say, I felt great. I mean, I got in the car and I was through Kansas City. It was still dark. I was pulling into St. Louis and the sun was just coming up. And I got some big time brownie points for the effort on that. So I got the best of both worlds. I went to the game, got to experience that. And then my wife saw, you know, she knew I'd made such a great effort to get to Omaha, Nebraska that I had to make the same effort to get back to Nashville for her birthday, and I did it. And it was, I sometimes look at my pictures. It's funny you mention that because I was strolling through my pictures on my camera roll last night or a couple of nights ago, and I had a picture of Omaha, Nebraska on June the 26th, and it was taken right after they'd won, and it was like 10:55 p.m. And then, you know, the very next day, next night, I was, you know, in Nashville at a birthday dinner with my wife and my family. It was probably around 5 o'clock, and I was thinking that was a crazy 24 hours.
Wow. Well, the reason I asked that is because our anniversary is June 28th. You guys both know that you were at the wedding and the reception, and if you remember, the reception was in Bridgestone Arena, and I had the great idea to leave for the honeymoon first thing in the morning. Like, we had a 6 a.m. flight. And I was like, this is great. We were going to Puerto Vallarta And you know what? We don't need to sleep. We'll just stay up. That'll be good. There's no reason. And then after it was all over, we get home, you know, very, very late. And I was like, we need like an hour or two nap. And that was the worst thing ever, laying down for an hour or two to get up to go to the airport. And that's the reason that I thought of that, because I was like, you know what? But we just couldn't say, we were so exhausted. But I was like, I think a 1 or 2 hour nap would do us a world of good. And it for me, it did not. It was the worst thing I could have done. That's the reason I asked. And then we had to go travel all the way to Mexico, you know. So, well, that's cool. Very, very neat. We're going to get into some Titan stuff here in just a minute. I wanted to ask you, what is your gut feeling right now on preseason games? How do you think the league, the Hall of Fame game, Hall of Fame weekend, has now been officially canceled? What do you think we're looking at for preseason?
Well, I have to say, when I saw that yesterday, of course, you hate to see any sporting event canceled, and because it kind of gives you fear about, you know, this obviously this pandemic and the virus is not going away. I think a lot of people felt like, you know, in March, April, May, you looked ahead that, hey, give us a couple of months and things will be settled down by the time football season gets here. And that's obviously not the case. And the numbers are going down. The trends are not looking good. I saw that yesterday morning that the Hall of Fame game had been canceled. Those events were canceled. And I will say that I wasn't shocked at all. And I don't look at it as, okay, here we go. You know, this is just the start of a bunch of cancellations. There's been so much talk about the preseason getting knocked down to two games. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think the way that you try to get to the start of the regular season is by being careful throughout the preseason. And you know, when you can control things a lot better when you're inside your own stadium, when you have some plans. And, you know, if you're talking about the Hall of Fame weekend, that's obviously not too far from now. It's a lot maybe tougher to structure what you want to do. Obviously with the ceremony as well, you're drawing a lot of people close together. So that's obviously not what it's going to look like even come fall. So, I think, you know, me, just based on what I've read and what makes sense, I think having two preseason games, you know, certainly makes sense. One game at home, one on the road. You know, whether or not those are played in front of fans, I guess that remains to be seen. But I still, you know, have hope and optimism that there's going to be games in September, and the potential in a lot of cities there will be fans. I mean, and this is not going to be the same, I think, across the NFL. And I think you're going to have some games that have fans attending, and I think probably some games in certain parts of the country you might not have fans. But preseason game, you know, two preseason games, I think, is the way it ultimately will land. But that's just speculation on my part.
I feel the same way as you. That's my gut. My gut is it's going to be cut in half, and it's going to be two preseason games. And my guess is they'll probably go through it. It's a subject that's been out there, as you know, forever. And they'll be like, okay, we were just fine with two preseason games. We'll survive, and they'll probably just move forward with that, you know, from the just afterwards. I mean, even when this is all done, I think that's probably the route they'll go. But I'm with you. I think they'll probably play two preseason games, and that's it. The Titans added – go ahead.
Yeah, and I'll say, it's unfortunate. I think you can make it through with two preseason games. It's unfortunate for some of these guys that are – battling for roster spots. I think what you miss is two, you know, joint practices with other teams, because I think that would have been exciting. I think that's where you get your most work done. I think from everything I've heard that, you know, the Titans were going to go down to Tampa and practice against the Buccaneers, you know, leading up to that preseason game, which, you know, when the schedule first came out and before this pandemic really took the nation, I hold that, if you're thinking, you know, you have a chance to go down there and practice against Brady, and it turns out Gronkowski and Keyshawn Vaughn would have been down there, and that receiving core. I mean, that would have been a heck of a lot of fun, and would have been a great week to get better. But, you know, that's not going to happen. The team is going to try to practice against somebody here in Nashville. That's obviously not going to happen. So you're going to miss not only games, but an opportunity with those joint practices to really take a big step. And so teams are really going to be challenged now to get ready for the year without that and not really knowing how practices are going to look yet.
Yeah. Adolfo Birch, Surf Melendez, Dan Worley, three new hires into the front office of the Titans. And Adolfo Birch, I'm really glad the Titans hired him just so I could see a picture of you on Twitter. How old were you in that picture at Father Ryan?
Yeah, that's what everybody asked me. When that picture, surely that picture had to have been taken in my seventh, when I was in the seventh grade. But that was actually my senior picture. That was taken, after my junior year, leading up to my senior year. I looked like I was probably in the seventh or eighth grade. I was probably standing about 5'4", weighing about 110, 150
really?
Pounds at that
wow.
time. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. I had my big growth spurt. I probably grew 5 inches my senior year in high school and then grew another 4 or 5 inches my first year in college. So, yeah, I was 5'4", 110, 115 at that time. And I posted that picture. Both of us looked like babies. You know?
Yes.
And I'm sure I was telling
awesome.
People that people – I kid my, my nephews, they don't buy it. They see that senior picture, and I tell them I was a kid that used to steal everybody's lunch money, and the kids were afraid, other students were afraid to see me coming down the hall. I was like the class bully, but everybody knows that's not
yeah.
true, looking like I did in that picture.
Especially with the bow tie. Yeah, you're not going to get anybody's lunch money with the bow tie. I had you pegged for like 15. Honestly, I thought you were about 15 years old. I would have never said senior.
I'd have been happy to look like have been considered 15 because I look like a baby, and I got carded up until the time I was probably 30 years old.
So did you know Adolfo Birch? Do you remember him? Did you guys hang out? Were you friends? Or
well, he was in the calculus and was in the classes that I was not. We were in different classes, I'll say that. He was in the advanced courses trying to get ready to go to Vanderbilt and Harvard, and I was just trying to get by. So, but, oh, yeah, I definitely knew him. I mean, he's always had a great personality, was kind of a cut-up, but was still extremely smart. I was looking through our yearbook last night yesterday I was trying to find those pictures, and he's obviously the valedictorian and accomplished in a lot of these clubs. And I just can say I graduated, and I claim to fame to him. His father was a wonderful father. A.A. Birch, the courthouse is named after him in Nashville, and it's a courthouse where my father worked for so many years. My father and his father were friends, both criminal court judges in the courthouse downtown. So I see Adolfo at a lot of events and always tell that story about him being the first in class, and I was near the bottom of the class, and now I think it's neat that he's with the organization and will do great things. He's a really smart guy, but really a good guy, and his father's a very special man as well.
Well, what does the organization have in these three hires? Can you tell us a little bit more about them?
Yeah, I mean, Adolfo has worked with the league for 24 years in a lot of different areas. And, with us, I think his title is Senior VP Business Affairs Chief Legal Officer. His hands will be in a lot of things. I mean, with the reshuffling, when Burke Nihil moving up to his role, I followed the replacement of Steve Underwood. I think Adolfo will come in and handle a lot of work that had been done by both of those gentlemen over the last, Steve for so many years, and Burke, obviously, before he worked his way up. So he'll do a lot of things behind the scenes, and really smart guy who I think is a great hire. I mean, I think when that story was tweeted out yesterday, just to see the national writers, whether it's, Ian Rappaport, I don't know if Adam Schefter chimed in, but Tom Pelissero, people from across that cover the league, Judy Batista, I think, noticed it from New York and NFL Network. I mean, he's a name that people are very familiar with in league circles just because he's been involved in so many things from a league standpoint. So he was a great hire. Bring him back to Nashville. Then Surf Melendez has taken over as creative director. He was formerly with the Miami Dolphins, has great vision, heard really good things about him. I haven't had a chance to meet him yet. And Dan Worley, who's been hired as general counsel, that was formerly with Nashville SC in that same capacity. Another Vanderbilt guy. I mean, all three of these come with great great reputation and heard so many good things about them, and now looking forward to the day when everybody can be back in the building and working together.
Jim Wyatt is with us, TennesseeTitans.com. So, Jim, in a broad perspective here, how long have they been working on this sort of reshuffling or I don't know what you want to call it, sort of reshaping the front office? It's exciting that you have these new personalities in there. And you've got some people, you know, I guess Adolfo Birch has great roots to Nashville, but to bring him in from the league, you know, some outside perspective, you know, so you have a blend of people that have come up through the organization and some people with some outside perspective.
Yeah, and I think Adolfo's name was kind of in the hat maybe when Steve Underwood had retired previously. And so his name, and because of his ties to Nashville and because of his expertise, I think he's a guy that had been on the team's radar for a while. And you know, when Steve Underwood decided to retire, and I don't think news came out maybe until March, but I think he had made Amy Adams Strunk aware that that was going to happen. And I think at that point is when you start thinking about your options. And Burke Nihil to be promoted to his spot, you know, kind of opened the door for some more movement, you know, especially general counsel and especially with the position that Adolfo Birch is now under. But, you know, Burke knows Adolfo well from their time in the league. I know I talked to him about Adolfo, you know, over the past couple of years, not about the spot with the team, just about, you know, how we had to kind of share the same relationship. So, there was, you know, I'm sure there was communication there. There was some interest there when that job came open. And then Dan, you know, being from here in town and having a spot open, you know, made that kind of an attractive match as well. So I think things just kind of fell together. I mean, I think, you know, it continues to show just the strength of Amy Adams Strunk and other people in the organization who can lure people away, whether it's from the NFL or from Nashville SC. I feel great, you know, being a member of the organization to bring in three quality guys. And, you know, look around, you know, the building now and see some of the people in the big positions. And it's you know, it's very impressive.
I'm curious, Jim, and you may not have a great feel. It may just have to work itself out. But, you know, we see the titles, but I think from a visibility perspective, we're all curious to know who's going to be sort of the out front person. Will we see that? It's been more of a behind the scenes role. We know Steve Underwood was more, you know, beneath the surface. He wasn't out and about a whole lot. Do you think between these couple of new hires that you'll have somebody maybe more in the public eye?
I think so, but I do think Steve, I mean, I know when Steve retired and Burke took over, that's one of the things I talked to Butch Spearden about, just about dealing with both of them. And then while they've got some things are similar, you know, in how they handle themselves, they do a lot of things the same way. I think Burke will be visible and be out there when it calls for it, but he is one of these guys that kind of likes to work behind the scenes. And, you know, and John Robinson, you know, Mike Vrabel, you know, it will be the voices, I think, on a more regular basis. But Burke is going to be in the community. He's going to do a lot of things, you know, with the city. You know, he's always been involved in some of these big events, even though his name wasn't out there as much as it will be. He was continuing to work, whether it was with the draft or with you know, 4th of July events here or watch parties or anything that really involved the city and the team, Burke was involved in that. So I think that will continue to be the case. And, And I think there will be obviously a lot of situations where he will be visible when he feels it's needed.
Jim, I want to ask you about one more thing. I think all of us who can go back a ways remember Josh Evans, you know, flamboyant personality, had some big moments as a role player on those excellent Titans, first Titans teams, pretty much. You caught up with him recently. I know he's had some struggles with cancer here. Tell us about what it was like to reconnect with him.
Yeah, it's really good that you have memories of being, you know, around a lot of guys over the years. And I remember, you know, Josh, obviously from the first year I started covering the team in 99 and did have one of those big personalities, was a easy guy to root for. He had some struggles, obviously, as a player, you know, because he was suspended a couple of times and it didn't always have the smoothest path. And that's one of the things I talked to him about. He is fighting cancer. He started chemotherapy yesterday. He's starting radiation today. I was just texting him this morning. And he's in a hospital, you know, down outside of Atlanta, you know, with another round of cancer. He had surgery, you know, earlier this year, and then it had come back. You know, he's asking for prayers. People that, you know, that remember him and have reached out to him have really helped buoy his spirits here in the last, you know, several weeks and months as he fights this. But he was a big personality, still is a big personality. Just talking to him and hearing him laugh, and he's extremely weak. He's lost a lot of weight. He was about 295, 299 when he played. He's down to about 185, 189. Now he's lost 100 pounds. And, he knows he's in the fight of his life, and he looks back at his career. He's kind of listening to him talk. I mean, he had some really good moments, but he has let himself, unfortunately, kind of dwell on some of the things that he, you know, wish he wouldn't have done. And he beat himself up for so many years, you know, just because of that, feeling like he'd let people at the organization down, his teammates down, his coaches down, just because of the suspensions. But I think as time has passed and he's gone through some counseling and the place he is, where he is in his life, and three kids who are really accomplished, I think he has finally found peace. And then unfortunately now he's dealing with the cancer. So hopefully he can continue to fight through this. He has so many great memories of his days with the Titans. It's called it the time of his life. And, you know, at 47 years old, hopefully he's got a lot of life left to live, and he'll be able to bounce back and recover from this.
Mm. Last thing, we put this out there earlier in the week, and I just want to get your are you surprised, your opinion on it or not? Because it surprised us. There was a sports book out there that had the Titans on. There was a list of six teams in odds on them trading for Jamal Adams, and the Titans were one of them, surprisingly enough. And that kind of took us by surprise. You know, it'd be one thing if there was a, you know, a number on Clowney or what have you, but to see something on Jamal Adams, what does that surprise you, that the Titans would be on a list of six teams having odds to possibly trade for his services?
Well, I guess, you know, nothing surprised me when it comes to speculation, because if you remember back in the Tom Brady, all that speculation was going on, he was number one on the list of players who would join the Titans or where he would end up. So, and I don't think there was really a lot to that. I think that was media driven and kind of took on a life of its own. With Jamal Adams, I mean, it doesn't. You look at what the Titans are with Kevin Byard and Kenny Vaccaro, and you know, obviously drafting Amani Hooker, and having Dane Cruikshank. I mean, at the safety position, the team has some good players and some depth. So from a personnel standpoint, and from where the team is now, I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. With that said, I mean, this guy is a tremendous player.
Sure.
And I remember him coming out of school, and I know how much the team liked him back then. So, you know,
there's a lot to like, for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot to like. I mean, he would clearly make the team better, and you could shuffle some things around. But I would just be surprised if the compensation or fit would be there better than it would be for other teams who probably need him more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's not that, you know, surprise that, you know, somebody would be interested in him. He's a tremendous talent. It's just, as you laid out, it's, you know, you can always, when you always say, well, it's not a position of need. Well, you can always upgrade, right? You can always get better, but it's not like it's, you're looking around going, wow, who is going to play this position? So they, I mean, they have people in place. And so, therefore, we're also talking about a trade, which means you would have to give up something, and he's going to get paid. So it would be a huge investment for the team, and that, I think that's why I was surprised. That's a lot to overcome for a position that, you know, I don't want to say you couldn't use a Jamal Adams, but there's a, you know, you'd have to give up a lot to get him.
Yeah, and somebody will do it. I mean, because he's a heck of a player, and certainly he's kind of a game changer on defense. But, you know, when I look at this team's priorities, maybe as we still, you know, have some time before the season starts, obviously getting Derrick Henry to long-term deals, one of them, Clowney would be nice. I think you could still, you know, depending on what happens, you know, in some of these position battles, I mean, it's not going to surprise me if you know, there's a couple other positions that still could have some additions. But when I look at the roster, I don't look at safety and say this needs to be addressed right now. And yep. So that's why I don't put a whole lot into it.
Well, go enjoy the birthday, you know. I don't know what
we'll
the birthday plans are, but go have fun.
Yeah, it'll be probably a little more low-key this year. It's not as
You'll be well-rested, though,
yeah,
compared to last year.
That's exactly right.
Thanks for the visit, as always. Continue to be safe. Have a great weekend. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, you guys too. Appreciate it.
All right, that is Jim Wyatt. TennesseeTitans.com is where you can find his work, and we do appreciate him joining us. We'll come back and close up shop for hour number one. On the other side, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.